Trend number two, choice overload. In today's marketplace, consumers are bombarded with more choices than ever, yet they are increasingly less satisfied. Whether they're buying a car, choosing a cell phone plan, ordering a beverage at Starbucks, or selecting a breakfast cereal at the supermarket, Americans are finding that simple decisions have turned complicated, time-consuming, and confusing. 100 years ago, customers clamored for more choices. Their lack of options was famously summed up in Henry Ford's quip about the Model T. People can have any color they want as long as it's black. Today, there are more than 1,100 vehicle models for sale in the United States, according to the book Trout on Strategy by Jack Trout. And for each of these models, buyers can select from a rainbow of colors, plus scores of standard and optional features ranging from heated seats to global positioning satellite navigation systems. The choices in nearly every product category have multiplied to the point where a simple purchase has become an excruciating experience. For example, when Barry Schwartz, a professor of social theory and social action at Swarthmore College, strolled into a Gap store to buy a pair of jeans, he expected the transaction to take 5 minutes. As Schwartz observes in his book, The Paradox of Choice, Why More is Less, by vastly expanding the range of choices, the store had also created a new problem that needed to be solved. Purchasing jeans became a complex decision in which I was forced to invest time, energy, and no small amount of self-doubt, anxiety, and dread. Schwartz admits that giving consumers choices is a positive force that can be liberating, but when it's taken to the extreme, when the choices become overwhelming, then choice is a negative force that actually tyrannizes people. Of course, there's no place in America that reflects the abundance of choice like the modern supermarket. According to research cited in the book An All-Consuming Century, Why Commercialism Won in Modern America, the number of items sold in supermarkets has doubled every 10 years since the 1970s. Today, the average grocery store stocks more than 40,000 items. And yet, as Trout points out, the average family gets more than 80% of its needs from a mere 150 items. That means the typical shopper will seldom, if ever, buy 39,850 of the items in the average supermarket. Bypassing products is a way to avoid information overload generated by the tyranny of choice. At his local grocery store, Schwartz counted 80 different pain relievers, 85 kinds of crackers, 120 pasta sauces, 150 kinds of lipstick, 275 types of cereal, 285 varieties of cookies, and 360 versions of shampoo. The same syndrome of choice overload can be found at just about every type of retailer. At an electronics store, for example, Schwartz tallied 50 different DVD players, 85 different telephones, and 110 different televisions. The problem is creeping into every purchasing decision. As Businessweek noted recently, choice overload is clear to anyone who has to pick from among an employer's healthcare alternatives, thought about switching from AT&T to Sprint, considered a course of college study, mused about buying a computer, flipped past the dozens of cable TV offerings, or puzzled over 401k investments. There's no question that choices have multiplied, but the key questions are these. Do all of these choices make people happier? Do they make consumers more satisfied with the shopping experience because they can get exactly what they want? The answer to both questions is a resounding no, according to the latest research. A study on retirement plans revealed that the more choices of mutual funds a company offers its employees, the more likely they are to pick none of the above, according to the Boston Globe. In another study that was conducted in a gourmet food store, one group of shoppers was given a choice of tasting 6 types of jam. Another group of shoppers could sample 24 varieties of jam. Theoretically, the shoppers that could try more flavors would be more likely to find one they would like to buy. That is not what happened, however. Only 3% of the people who were exposed to the wide variety of jams actually bought a jar. Among the shoppers who were exposed to the smaller display, 30%, or 10 times as many people, purchased the product, according to the researchers' report in the Journal of Personality and Social Psychology. The researchers suggested at least 2 possible explanations for their findings. One possibility is when people face too many choices, they reject all of them because the decision is too hard. Another possibility is that when people have to sift through many options to make a choice, they don't fully enjoy the one they selected because they know they may have passed up something even better. Both of these answers agree with Schwartz's theory about why people feel less satisfied when they have more choices. As the number of choices multiplies, so do the odds that the individual has made the wrong choice. Or at least it may seem like the wrong choice because there's no time to evaluate all the options, and there's a high probability that a better choice exists. Worse still, as other authors point out, our cornucopia of choices may be to blame for several social trends. In The American Paradox, Spiritual Hunger in an Age of Plenty, psychologist David Myers links today's material abundance to the doubling of the divorce rate since 1960, the tripling of the teen suicide rate in that same period, and a threefold increase in clinical depression. The trends editors are not convinced that there is a direct connection between the explosion of choice and all of society's problems. But the fact that some pundits see it that way shows how the backlash against choice is growing. With that in mind, we offer four forecasts. First, the most successful companies will refocus themselves and rein in product proliferation. As the Pareto principle would predict, in most companies, the vast majority of profits come from a small number of products. All of the additional product line extensions typically confuse customers and even make a negative contribution to the company's bottom line. Some companies are already starting to simplify their product lines and give consumers fewer choices. As Michael L. George and Stephen A. Wilson explain in their book Conquering Complexity in Your Business, the Sony Corporation expects to save $3 billion over the next 3 years by simplifying and standardizing its product lines. Similarly, when Procter & Gamble shifted marketing expenditures away from a broad base of brands to focus on core brands, its total market share increased from 24.5% to 28%, and its stock price outperformed the Dow Jones Industrial Average by nearly 50%. Increasingly, executives who lead their industries will focus on the 20 to 50% of their products that contribute 100 or more percent of their net value creation, while getting rid of the rest. Second, as choices continue to proliferate, people will look for ways to simplify their decisions. This creates opportunities for established businesses and entrepreneurs who can devise business models to sort through people's choices for them. For example, Consumer Reports independently evaluates and rates all of the manufacturers' offerings in various product categories. It is one of the 10 largest paid circulation magazines in America, and its website is one of the most profitable business ventures on the Internet. Other examples include Edmunds.com, which rates and values cars, PriceGrabber.com, and NextTag.com, which help people find bargains online, and services like AudioTech that choose the most important business books from the thousands published each year. Third, managing choice will continue to drive resurgence in a few business models that were discredited during the dot-com debacle. One example is the sudden popularity of online grocers. Not long ago, these companies collectively burned through billions of dollars, $830 million in Webvan's case alone, and most went bankrupt. Today, online grocers appeal to consumers who want not only convenience, but the peace of mind that comes from having someone else buy their groceries amid the bewildering array of choices in the supermarket aisles. The Associated Press recently revealed that firms like FreshDirect.com, which offers a limited, premium-quality selection of products, has seen their customer base expand by 400% in the past 12 months. At Safeway.com, business has doubled over the past 2 years, and the company expects it to double again this year. Overall, sales of online groceries should reach $2.4 billion in 2004. By 2008, revenues will approach $6.5 billion, according to Jupiter Research. That's an annual growth rate of 42%. And fourth, the emphasis on individual choice that underlies much of the public policy debate about healthcare and retirement plans will have to be adjusted to reflect this trend. As ineffective and inefficient as today's bureaucratic Social Security and Medicare schemes are, these no-choice programs offer the recipients the benefits of freedom from making a bad choice. By offering multiple alternatives, proposed and ongoing reforms create anxiety up front, with most of the net benefits accruing later. As the British government has found in its effort to reform its social services, there's often an unanticipated backlash from those who would rather not risk being wrong. We hope and expect that American reformers will learn from the British experience and the ongoing confusion related to prescription drug benefits. If they do so, they will devise solutions that will offer alternatives to those who seek them while maintaining the one-size-fits-all program for those who prefer to minimize choice.